Welcome to Inner Circle, the premier softball podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson.
And welcome to another edition of In the Circle. I'm Eric Lopez alongside Victor Anderson. We're apart, Vic. We're apart this time around for this edition.
Well, yes, I am back at the home base at an undisclosed location in Central Florida. You are not at an undisclosed location. You are in Greenville, North Carolina. And I know a lot of fans who've been following you on Twitter are why you're there. But for those of you who are following our podcast, why are you in Greenville this week?
I'm out here for the American Conference Tournament. I'll be part of the broadcast on the American Digital Network. We'll have all three quarterfinal games and the two semifinal games on the American Digital Network. The championship game is Saturday at noon Eastern, all of this weather permitting. But that's why I'm out here with UCF softball and a very important tournament that we'll get into later on in the program. So as you're listening to this, I'll be in Greenville. So as a result, I'm on remote.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you still can't reach us, right, Rich?
That's right. You can follow us on Twitter, Inner Circle SB. Follow our blog, innercircleblog.wordpress.com, where Eric will have his ramped up bracketology coming up. I know you SEC fans have been chirping at Mr. Lopez about should the SEC get all 13 teams in. We will talk about that during today's podcast. Of course, you can subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic and iTunes and send us an email at innercirclesb@gmail.com. D1 will have their selection show within less than a week, but Division 2, my area, had their selection show on Monday, and some interesting developments in Division 2, Mr. Lopez, but as followed here, we admit openly throughout several podcasts, we focus on the South Region. The South Region was released, and West Florida, even though they did get bombed in a conference semifinal versus Mississippi College, the number one seed in the South Region.
They are the number one overall seed. They will take on number 8, Claflin. 33-18 on the season, Vic, but West Florida number 1 overall seed. Do you agree with it?
I think so. If you look at West Florida, you have to reward them for the body of work that they had throughout the season. And they take on a Claflin team. I saw them up close when they played against Rollins in Winter Park. They're a very speedy team. They put a lot of pressure on you, but I think West Florida has enough offense and enough good pitching to take care of it. And if you're Claflin, you're probably thinking yourself, you're going to be an honorary member of the Gulf South Conference because the 4-5 matchup, Mr. Lopez, Mississippi College, in their first year as a full-fledged Division II member, runs through the Gulf South Tournament undefeated. They run rule Alabama-Huntsville at Alabama-Huntsville to win the championship. And their result, their reward, they're the 4th seed, and they take on a very hungry Vanosta State team. That's going to be eight. I sent my tweet out on the In the Circle Twitter account on Monday morning, hashtag offense galore, because there's going to be runs aplenty in Pensacola this weekend.
So that's the South Region 1. Your thoughts on that region there with the 4 teams?
Honestly, the way the Choctaws have been playing the last few weeks, I think they have a great – you know what? I'm going to go out and say it. I got Mississippi College advancing to the Supers. I got them going to the Supers. The way they've been playing very well, they ran through the Gulf South Tournament with ease, and you know how hard that conference is, 1-8. And to do that and to run rule Alabama-Huntsville – in Huntsville in the championship game, I think the Choctaws could be that team of destiny that we've always seen in that South Region the last few years, that 6th seed that usually advances to the Super Regionals. I think the Choctaws could do it as a 4th seed this year. But Vanosta State and West Florida will have something to say about it.
We move to the South 2 region, the number 2 overall seed, St. Leo, winning the Sunshine State Conference Championship. They will be hosting this region, and they'll be taking on, Vic, number 7, North Alabama.
Which is funny because last year, St. Leo was the 3 when they went to Florence and got eliminated eventually by North Alabama en route to the national championship. St. Leo, this is a team that led by Stephanie Atkins, who will probably be named the Pitcher of the Year in the Sunshine State Conference for the 2nd consecutive year. They got the Freshman of the Year, who I think is going to be Freshman of the Year, and Casey Kelly at the top of the order. They got Rachel Heath, Samantha Omi, who's a power threat in the middle of that order. My concern about St. Leo is, can they find somebody other than Atkins, if she gets into trouble, to pitch for them? I saw them when they played against Rollins, the final game of the regular season. Rollins lit up Atkins. They got to her when she came in relief in the top of the seventh. They eventually got a grand walk-off grand slam to win the first game of the doubleheader. Atkins started game two, and the Tars got right to her again. So do you wonder if St. Leo has enough pitching behind Atkins? And we know Aaron Kimberger will have that Lion team ready to go. But they're taking on a North Alabama team with Raven Cole and Hillary Carpenter. That's a nice 1-2 combination. And look, they're the defending national champions. They may not have the Brooklyn Clarks of the world, but they're gonna be a problem for St. Leo in that 2-7 matchup.
The 3 seed in this regional is Alabama Huntsville, Vic, a team you know very well.
Les Studeman and company, they are a powerful offense led by Caitlin Bannister, the Gulf South Conference Player of the Year. They're gonna take on another conference foe in Lee. And how about this, Eric? Two schools making the tournament for the first time after transitioning over from the NAIA to Division II. You have Lee in their second year of eligibility and Mississippi College in their first year of eligibility, both making the tournament. It's going to be intriguing to see how this South 2 regional plays out. And the fans in St. Leo, hopefully there's a lot of green, but you know, and I've seen this firsthand going to Huntsville, there will be a lot of blue for Alabama Huntsville. There'll be a lot of purple for North Alabama. There'll be some Lee fans coming along, although there's going to be a long trek for them from Tennessee to making their way down to Florida. I really don't know how to read this South 2 regional, Eric, to be perfectly honest with you. Part of me wants to go with St. Leo, but you can't doubt North Alabama because they're the defending national champions in Alabama Huntsville. They're always a tough out. It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a fun regional to watch. I'll tell you that much.
Any gripes with the teams that were selected or the seeding?
Really, no. And I actually sent you this Monday morning before the regional selections were announced. I sent to you who I thought would be the top eight, who would be the eight in the South region, and where they would fall within the two sub regionals. And for the most part, we pretty much got it down packed. The only thing I will say is I had St. Leo originally hosting with Huntsville being the 3, but then I flipped it to give Huntsville the nod for them getting to the conference championship game and them being the regular season champions of the Gulf South Conference. So the 2-3, you can nitpick either way, but at the end of the day, those are the best 8 teams in the region. And here's the thing, Eric. If Rollins did not blow that seventh inning lead to St. Leo and won that doubleheader, Tampa would be in and North Alabama would be out. Because Tampa would have gotten the automatic bid. And here's why. Tampa, after Rollins got the doubleheader split on Friday night, Tampa had a chance to win the conference championship outright. All they had to do was sweep Florida Southern in the doubleheader. And they lost and they split. So Tampa had it on their racket. They're to take it for them on their senior day. And Florida Southern comes in and ruins it. So Tampa had a chance. Tampa had a chance. And as a result, St. Leo, the lone team representing the Sunshine State Conference.
What does that say about the league?
Well, it was a down. Crazy as it sounds, Eric, and seeing a conference for now 7 years of Rollins, it was as competitive and a lot of parity as I've seen in the league. Yes, St. Leo and Tampa finished 1-2, but they both lost games on the road to Nova Southeastern. St. Leo lost twice in walk-offs at Nova Southeastern. And that tells you the direction that Julie LeMaire has her program going down in Davie. Nova Southeastern finished 3rd in the conference, 2 games behind St. Leo, and weren't even close to being in the region, in the regional rankings. Rollins finished 11-13. Lynn finished between Nova Southeastern and Rollins at 12-12. And it was really one of those years where if you didn't play your game, anybody in the league could beat you. So it was a down year for the league. And the fact that they got one team in tells you that, and also it tells you the strength of the Gulf South Conference. I call it the SEC West of Division II college softball. When you look at that conference with North Alabama, with Alabama Huntsville, with Austin State, we didn't even mention Shorter, who had a chance, but they got knocked out early in the Gulf South tournament. Otherwise, they could have made a chance. They could have made a.
What about Palm Beach Atlantic, Vic? What about Palm Beach Atlantic? Made a late run, mm-hmm. was kind of flirting in that number 7-8. They beat St. Leo 2 out of 3 down the stretch. Why is Palm Beach Atlantic not it?
They ran out. Well, number one, they ran out of time, and number two, I think they didn't. If you look at North Alabama's resume, you look at North Alabama's resume, you look at Palm Beach Atlantic's resume, North Alabama has more opportunities to win against, get wins against quality opponents, and he took advantage of those opportunities. Look, we alluded to some previous podcasts. If you're at number 8, if you're at 7, 8, 9 in the South, you know that SIAC champion is going to get that number 8 seed. So you want to be within the top 6, top 7 to feel comfortable. Palm Beach Atlantic was on that number 8 line. So they needed North Alabama to get bounced out in that opening round of the Gulf South Tournament versus Valdosta State, which didn't happen. So as a result, North Alabama solidified their seeding, and Palm Beach Atlantic is up on the outside looking in. But, hey, the way Palm Beach Atlantic had their schedule, they didn't have a home game until late February when they took 2 out of 3 versus Rollins at Simpson Field. So that's a credit to Kimmy Bloomers and her coaching staff, led by one of their pitching coaches and someone you know, Mackenzie Hoon.
Right.
But Palm Beach Atlantic, I think this is a team that if they get another strong recruiting class, they'll be in their first full year as a member of the Sunshine State Conference next year. They could contend for the top of the league.
Certainly, it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. Let's kind of scan through the rest real quick, Vic, and kind of give quick thoughts. Southeast number one region. You have North Georgia's the number one overall seed. North Greenville is number 8. That's who they'll play to open. You got Limestone is the number 4 seed. Lenore Rhine,
yes,
gets in as the number 5 seed.
I think North Georgia, Mike Davenport, cruises easily. North Greenville, a great Cinderella story. They had to win the conference championship as a 3 seed to get in. They did that, but they're taking on a Nighthawk team that has been clicking on all cylinders. And by the way, life without Courtney Poole has gone very well for the Nighthawks, I would say. But I got North Georgia advancing into the Southeast Super Regional.
Over in the other regional, on the Southeast 2, interestingly, Armstrong State is the number 3 seed, but they're the host. They'll play the 6 seed, Young Harris. Carson Newman is the 2 seed, but they're not hosting. They'll play Pfeiffer as the 7 seed.
And for those of you who don't follow Division 2, schools who feel they are able to host, they always put in a bid. So in case a top seed cannot host like Carson Newman, the team behind them lower in the seeds gets hosting rights and privileges. So even though Carson Newman is the higher seeded team, Armstrong State will host. Is that going to make a difference? I really don't know. This is that region where I really could see all 4 teams coming out of this Southeast 2 region and taking on North Georgia. But I think because of the home field advantage, I give Armstrong State the advantage, and it sets up a Peach Belt Super Regional, Armstrong State versus North Georgia.
Over in South Central 1, you've got Angelo State as the number 1 overall seed. They'll take on Lubbock Christian as the 8 seed. Cameron is the 5 seed. They take on Colorado Mesa, the 4 seed.
The Lady Ramblers of Angelo State have been dominant all year, been in the top, near the top 5 in the conference, the top 5 in the nation all year long. I don't expect that to change. I think the Lady Ramblers roll into the South Central 1 regional. And the South Central 2 region is going to look like a Heartland Conference matchup, Mr. Lopez. Do tell for the fans.
The 2 seed is West Texas A&M. They'll take on Tarleton State, the 7th seed. St. Mary's, Texas will take on Texas Women's as the number 6 seed.
And you know what? If you're looking at that bracket, you're wondering, why does that bracket sound so familiar to me? Why does that sound very, very familiar? If you're wondering why that sounds so familiar, because three of those four teams happen to be in the same side of the bracket during a conference tournament. So I'm interested to see how this whole thing is going to play itself out. Now, West Texas A&M beat Angelo State in the Lone Star Conference Championship game, and Angelo State knocked off Texas Women's to get there. So West Texas A&M with Coach Kevin Bleskowski and his crew, they're going to look – they're looking at this as let's take care of business and let's knock off St. Mary's, which is going to be a tough battle for West Texas A&M, the Lady Buffs. I think West Texas A&M takes on Angelo State, and that's going to be a showdown between the Lady Ramblers and the Lady Buffs with a trip to the Women's College World Series on the D2 side on the line.
Vic, I'm going to let you. The floor is yours. What else jumps out at you from the field of 64? You break down the rest of the regions that you want.
The one region that I am really looking, I'm really keeping my eye on, is the Midwest one. You have Missouri St. Louis, who, without Brian Levin, who left to get the job at Belmont, and without the greatest pitcher in Triton history, Hannah Perriman, all they do was go 38-39-13 and become the number one overall seed in the Midwest One region. They take on a Kentucky Wesleyan team, who was the Cinderella team, won their conference tournament as a 3 seed. And how about this? Whoever gets out of that first game will have to take on the winner of Wayne State and Truman. So you could have Missouri St. Louis and Wayne State, a possible super regional caliber matchup just to advance to the regional championship game. That's one of the regions that I'm going to be looking forward to during this opening weekend of the tournament. And another one that I'm really looking forward to is going to be the Central One region. You have Harding, who's the number one seed. They take on Missouri Western State. And how about this 4-5 matchup? Winona State versus Southern Arkansas. If Harding takes on Southern Arkansas in that winner's bracket matchup, ooh-wee, that is going to be an offensive slugfest, to say the least. I'm looking forward to that particular region as well. For a complete breakdown, for a complete bracket breakdown of all 64 teams, go to NCAA.com, and we'll give you the link for the brackets there as well. Now, I will state that we did project who the top eight, who will be the top seeds in the region. We got 7 of the 8 right. The only one that we missed was in the South Central region, as I thought it would be West Texas A&M, and then the committee went with Angelo State. So, I mean, again, kind of picking hairs. Angelo State won the regular season. West Texas A&M beat Angelo State in a tournament to get the automatic bid. So, you know, kind of splitting hairs there. But all in all, I think the committee did a very good job, and it felt like it was a lot easier for them this year as opposed to several years past.
And Vic, I know you, even though I know it's mixed emotions for you because you won't be at a regional broadcasting this year for the first time since, what, 2013?
Yes.
But one positive, if there is a positive, is that means you'll be checking out all the regionals in Division II. You're going to be tweeting during the weekend, aren't you?
Yes, yes, yes. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I'll have a few regionals that I'll be spotlighting and keeping a close eye on. Of course, you can follow me personally on Twitter at CatBirdRed. I'll be tweeting from that account and in the Circle SB as well to talk about Division II this weekend. Again, the regionals, May 11th through the 13th. Get more information, go to NCAA.com. So transitioning from Division II to Division I, conference tournament set to start this week. Mr. Lopez, you are in Greenville for the American Conference Tournament. And based on your projections, you feel that this is going to be a one big lead this year. Is that right?
Yeah, so right now at this hour. I mean, certainly, Vic, this is going to be a fascinating selection show on Sunday night, which, by the way, is going to be on the Deuce. ESPN2.
Really?
Yeah, looks like they've moved it from the press release that I saw. Unless it was inaccurate, it'll be on ESPN2, not ESPNU, like it's been in the past, which I think is a positive step. And I think we've screamed about this on the podcast in years past, so maybe we'll take partial credit for this, is how, why isn't the softball selection show on a bigger channel, I think has always been head-scratching, considering the popularity of the sport. And if you notice recently, the Auburn-Alabama game was added to primetime on ESPN. And so I think it's a positive step that they would put it on the Deuce. I've never understood why it wouldn't be on the Deuce. So if that's the case, that's a great step for the sport. Still 10 o'clock
So you gotta appease those people in California, but still, 10 o'clock on the East Coast.
So I guess one battle at a time. I guess.
Yeah. It is what it is.
I would say that would be the unfortunate deal. We'll just kind of tolerate that, and but that appears like that's going to be the move that they're going to do as far as this election show is concerned. As far as from what I'm hearing, and that is correct. It will be a 1 hour show on ESPN2, so Sunday night. Make a note of that.
Yes.
But you know, back to your point, I think one of the interesting storylines is going to be how many teams in the SEC get in, and I think that's going to be a rippling effect depending on how many they put in there. And you know, you look at the SEC. Georgia finished last, but Georgia just won 2 out of 3 at Arkansas to finish the regular season. Georgia, in their defense, will argue their RPI is still 25. Okay? That is a phenomenal RPI to have. And I think Georgia's argument is going to be, look, we finished last, but we had to go to Florida. We had to go to LSU. We had to go to Texas A&M. I mean, that's a rough shot schedule. There is an imbalanced schedule there that's going on there. I think what's going to happen, I think the SEC, first of all, they have a legitimate shot at 13. I could see them getting no more, less than 12. And I think the debate's going to be between Arkansas and Missouri. Arkansas's RPI is 30, Missouri is 32. Missouri lost the series. They've been really not good down the stretch. Arkansas, as I mentioned, lost to Georgia. Arkansas opens the SEC tournament against Alabama. Missouri opens against LSU. I think that's important games for both of those schools. I think if you lose that game, you're sweating it out on Sunday. And I think that's going to be the dilemma. Georgia versus Arkansas versus Missouri. Do they pick all three or do they pick 2 of 3? I think everybody else in the SEC is comfortably in.
So it sounds like you have 10 easily in, and then you have those three teams that you mentioned battling for 2 or maybe 3 spots, and all 13 teams get in. If you were the committee, does the SEC get all 13 in?
I wouldn't put all 13 in, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. This is why I think, Javik, this is going to be a fascinating selection show, because this is going to divide the sport to a degree. Because if you put all 13 teams in the SEC, that's going to be at the expense of maybe the American Conference, at the A-Sun Conference, maybe the ACC. There's going to be at the expense of somebody. And I think the conversation is going to be like, what's the point of playing the regular season, you know, if you're not going to reward the second best team in the Conference USA or the American Conference versus the last place team in the SEC. SEC people would argue, look at the competition that's in the SEC. So that's where we're at with this. And it's funny, no matter, it's like full circle, because 10, 15 years ago, the argument was, man, everybody in the Pac-12 gets in. It's all too West Coast. Are we too Southeast? You know, that's going to be another interesting debate. And so I'm fascinated by it. And I'll be honest with you, I've been very critical of the committee in the past. I'm sure I will be again.
Yes.
But I will say this. This is a tough one this year. This is a very tricky, tough one. I don't envy their situation. I think this is a very tricky situation because we haven't seen this before. Missouri is the only team, Vic, that does not have 30 wins this season in the SEC overall. If they win against LSU, they've got 30 wins, and they all have quality wins. So this was not a year where a team finished under 500 overall or went 2-22 in the conference. Georgia went 6-18 in the SEC. They won their share. They won 2 conference series. So this is going to be very interesting. Arkansas, by the way, won 2 conference series this year. Missouri only won 1. Arkansas beat Missouri head to head. But Missouri has the track record of getting into the NCAA tournament, Vic. So do they go with the brand in Missouri over an Arkansas team that we haven't seen in the NCAA tournament, or do they go with the team that I personally think should be the one that gets the nod if it's a choice between the two of them, and that would be Arkansas.
All right, because they beat Missouri head-to-head in the regular season.
At Missouri.
At Missouri. That's the key.
The only reason Missouri finished ahead of Arkansas in the standings was because Missouri had a washout at Florida.
Right.
And if you believe that Missouri would have lost that game, they would have finished tied with Arkansas, and Arkansas would have finished 11th, and Missouri would have finished 12th. So keep that in mind. But will the committee look at that? I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the SEC if they do get all 13 teams in. I know that's something that you'll be discussing heavily on your projections and also online on our Twitter. And also, Eric will be tweeting on his personal Twitter account during Selection Sunday, at Eric Lopez Elo. So if you have any vitriol directed towards his Twitter account, not the In the Circle SB Twitter account, we'll be tweeting our thoughts as a whole on the field of 64. Now, the ACC, Florida State, ended their regular season going cross-country, going on the road, taking on number 2 Oregon. They got swept by the Ducks. Does that affect Florida State's chances at a national, at a top 4 national seed in any way, or is that just kind of a measuring stick series going into ACC?
I mean, you can't punish a team for scheduling a trip to Oregon.
No.
I think that would be a bad message. Florida State, by the way, for whatever it's worth, the committee came out with the most recent top 10, and they were number 2.
Yes.
Now, do I think Florida State will finish number 2? Maybe not, but I do think they're a top 3, top 4. You know, we'll see how they bounce back in the ACC tournament. You know, you look at the ACC, I mean, that's going to be very interesting. I think Carolina and Notre Dame are both kind of in. They're both in the 30s from an RPI standpoint. I think Louisville is very interesting. They finished second technically in the ACC, but again, they have a 55 RPI. That's not a great RPI to get in. But, you know, and this is where this is going to come down to. For example, if Kentucky, Vic, were to host, that's going to help Louisville's chances to get in. Because guess what? If Kentucky's hosting,
bus trip.
Louisville's a bus trip, just like Michigan would be a bus trip. So that's why I think the teams that host regionals are just as the biggest factor in whether some of these teams get in or not. Because I think if Kentucky's not hosting, that could be all she wrote for a Louisville type, for example. That's going to be some of the interesting things to find is who's hosting the 16 teams, and obviously how the ACC tournament, all these conference tournaments play out will also play a role in it. So I think it's going to be very interesting. For example, the Ohio Valley, Jacksonville State is the OVC champion regular season. They're a 39 RPI.
Yes.
SIUE is 44 RPI. What if SIUE wins the conference tournament? Does Jacksonville State still get in and it's a two-bid league in the OVC? Or is it a one-bid league? And I think that, again, that's going to be very interesting to see what the committee does there.
Yeah, and that those might be one of those conferences that get impacted on if the SEC does get all 13 teams in, mainly Georgia or Missouri, depending on how things happen in a Ohio Valley Conference or in a Mountain West Conference with San Diego State and Utah State. If one of them end up winning a conference championship and the other one has to score on Selection Sunday.
And here's the other example, right? I mean, the A-Sun, which for a while it looked like they'd be a strong three-bid league. Well, Upstate's the regular season champion. They're at 41. Kennesaw State, the 2 seed, is 46. So, you know, that's a tight number there that I think both teams need to get to the final to secure a spot in the NCAA. And they might get left out if they decide the committee to go with 13 from the SEC, Vic.
Yeah.
And then what happens if a North Florida, for example, or somebody else in the
Or Lipscomb.
Eastern, Lipscomb wins the conference tournament. That could, I think, will be at the expense of one of those teams. So that's the kind of stuff that we're dealing with this season when it comes because there's not as many spots available because of this whole Southeastern Conference situation. If the SEC only gets 10 to 11, that's kind of a norm. But if they get 12 or 13, that's 2-3 spots that normally are available that are not.
Yeah. And it will be an expense at one of those mid to lower major schools.
Well, this is the thing. You have to believe it'll be at the expense of some other Southeastern school.
Yes.
They're not going to take out a Western team Southeastern team because they're going to still need their X amount of Western teams to fill out the Western regionals and stuff like that. So you if they're going to put a couple of extra Southeastern teams, I think it'll be at the expense of other Southeastern teams.
Yep. Now, interestingly enough, you a couple of teams that you have kind of on that last four in, first four out, Ohio State, Texas. What are your thoughts on those two programs heading into the conference tournament? Texas coming off a tough loss, and Ohio State really trying to get themselves back up towards the end of the regular season heading to the Big Ten tournament.
Well, Texas took one game from Baylor. They're going to be playing in this Big 12 tournament pod system. They're going to get guaranteed three games. It'll behoove Texas to win a game or two, and I think they'll be fine. Their RPI is 33. So, you know, I think that if they can win a game or two, I think they're going to be fine as far as that's concerned. And I think Ohio State, same thing. Don't fall apart in the Big Ten tournament. They're 35 in the RPI. So they improved a little bit now in the RPI, the newest RPI. A team to watch out is Oregon State. They just took two out of three from Utah.
Yeah.
They took two out of three from UCLA earlier this year. Their RPI is 38, so they're making a strong case.
And the thing that hurts Oregon State is that they don't have a pack. They don't have a conference tournament like these other Power Five schools to try and add and get that final exclamation point on that resume, where somebody like a Ohio State or a Texas have that opportunity. So does the committee look at Oregon State and say, okay, you finished strong, but you didn't have a chance to really get that signature victory to close out the season? Or do you reward them for the full body of work? That's going to be another thing to look forward to as well when the selection show comes around on Sunday night.
Correct. I agree. I mean, that's going to be very interesting. You know, an interesting switch in the CUSA. FIU, strong finish. 43 RPI. They finished second in the Conference USA. Marshall's the champion. Marshall's a 26 RPI. Marshall's in. They don't have to worry about it. FIU's got some work to do, but I think they've jumped FAU as a possible second team out of CUSA. FAU has dropped in the latest RPI. Florida Atlantic has dropped. I think that's a concern for the folks in Boca that I am definitely very concerned about. They're 54 now, and so I think FIU, now it's going to come down to who makes it to the CUSA final. And I think if FIU gets in there, I think they're going to be in there as a three seed to Gainesville. I really do. That's a bus trip. And I think it's going to come down to FAU and FIU, which one of those gets into the final. But FAU kind of slipped at the end. FIU picked it up. That could be the switch, Vic. I don't think we're getting more than, at best, two bids from CUSA.
Yeah, and you gotta be careful if you're FIU or FAU, because if you get knocked out of the conference early, and that could cost you a bid to the tournament, because you have to get your. I figure if you at least get to the semi, we talked about this off air. Just win the automatic bid and make this conversation a mute point altogether. But if you get to the conference finals against a Marshall, who, by the way, FIU took two out of three of versus Marshall earlier in the regular season, if you can get to the conference final, I think you would be okay come Selection Sunday. But it'd be best just to win the automatic bid and not have to worry about it. Just a matter, just know where you're gonna go, not if you're going to the tournament.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think the Sun Belt's interesting. With Lafayette is a heavy favorite. Lafayette trying to sneak in as a host. They're 19 in the RPI. If they were to win the Sun Belt tournament, could they sneak in to host? You have a team, I think Texas State is going to be in as the second team in the Sun Belt. They've had a tremendous year over there at Texas State, 29 RPI. The question is, can they sneak in a third team? I don't think so right now. South Alabama, 56, Georgia State, 57. They're going to have to make some noise in the Sun Belt tournament to get themselves in there. You know, you mentioned where I'm at, the American Conference. Tulsa is the regular season champs. They're at 28. I feel very comfortable that they're in. I think everybody else is going to probably have to win the tournament. South Florida just lost 2 out of 3 to Houston to drop to the 4th seed. Their RPI is at 52, so they're going to have some work to do. They're probably going to have to get to the final to have a shot. And at that point, like you said, you might as well just win the tournament. UCF's at 62. Historically, they don't get in that, or 63 RPI, excuse me. Historically, that's not going to be good enough to get in. So you're going to probably have to win. You're just going to have to go with the mindset to win the conference tournament as far as the Americans concerned. If Tulsa were to win the tournament, I think that unfortunately it could be a one-bid year for the Americans.
Yeah, and realistically, and this is a disappointing year because the American routinely has been a multiple bid league. but the conference has been down the last couple of years.
Young league. Well, it's a young league this year. A lot of transition, a lot of graduation. So I had concerns going into the year that this could be a down year compared to a 3-4 bid year league that has been over the years. Last year was a 3-bid league. They've been as high as a 4-bid league. But there was a lot of youth in this league, and I think, yeah, I mean, that's a result. You know, the league's down a little bit. I think it'll be fine moving forward, but, you know, it's just one of those things this year.
Yep, and now, and what I think is going to be intriguing is that the national seeds, you alluded to the top 10 that was released by the committee Saturday night during the Auburn-Alabama game. We'll go over it 1 through 10. Florida, Florida State, Arizona, Washington, Auburn, Oregon, Minnesota, Tennessee, Texas A&M, UCLA. Now, Minnesota won the regular season Big Ten championship. If they get, if they go and win the Big Ten tournament championship and get the sweep, do you see them maybe being in a contention for a top four seed?
Well, I think they should be regardless already. I think they're undervalued. So, yeah, I hope so. I hope so, because I think they should be a top four now. You know, that's my gripe. You know, I don't have a problem with Florida, Florida State, Arizona. I do think Oklahoma needs to be in that top 10. I would put Oklahoma instead of Texas A&M, personally. Big 12 champions, the number 3 RPI conference. I think they would be in over A&M.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we like to remind everybody, Oklahoma is the reigning, defending national right. champions of college softball. Just I didn't get that friendly reminder. And go ahead, Ms. Lopez.
Yeah, no, that's well said. And so I think that's the one change I would do in the top 10. Is have Oklahoma in, A&M out. Now, certainly A&M can play themselves back in if they have a good SEC tournament.
Yeah.
As we've seen in the past, that does seem to work. But as of today, I would have Oklahoma ahead of A&M in the top 10. And I think if Oklahoma, you know, I could try maybe, depending on how things go, could sneak into a top 8. But I do think Minnesota, if they win the Big Ten tournament, should be considered to be a top 4 national seed. I think Florida's locked up the number 1 seed already.
Yes.
I think Florida State and Arizona will be an interesting debate. I could see that go either way as far as the 2 and the 3. And I think Washington certainly will take a dip after losing a game to Stanford at home, which shocked a lot of people, myself included. I think Auburn, if they have a strong SEC tournament, has a shot to be a top 4 seed, 4 or 5 seed.
Yep. What about Oregon? They swept Florida State at home.
Yeah, Oregon too. You're right. Oregon with that sweep of Florida State will gain from that. And they could certainly be a top 5 seed as well. So it could be an interesting weekend, I think, how they sort all that out.
Now, one thing I'm kind of intrigued to see what happens, Alabama, Kentucky, Utah, Lafayette, yeah, James Madison as teams possibly being one of those last 3 national seeds, possibly trying to host a regional. Does Alabama losing 2 out of 3 to Auburn at home hurt their chances, or will they not bother them because they got the SEC tournament to make up those losses?
I think they have the SEC tournament to make up for those losses if they win some games. I just can't see Alabama not hosting. I would just be surprised. I think LSU's going to host. I think James Madison, if they finish strong, I think they're going to get that one. I think they're going to host. I think the team. The question is, does a Kentucky host or does Louisiana Lafayette host? I think that's going to be some of the questions that we're going to look for in Selection Sunday.
Yep.
Because I think that'll have an impact on who gets into the field. For example, if Utah were to host instead of Kentucky,
you got a Utah State, you got a BYU.
Right, there's a lot of different, now you got to get some Western teams there. So it's going to be interesting how they do that. But if Kentucky hosts, I think that helps Louisville's cause, among others. So, a lot of different directions they can go with this as far as who's hosting and in the back end in particular. And, you know, obviously the controversy last year, they paired Florida and Georgia up in the Super Regionals, 1 versus 16. Will they do that this year? Will they pair up an SEC team against an SEC team? I think there's unavoidable. I think they will. But then the question is, what will be that matchup? And that'll be something to follow.
Yep. And it's going to be also really pivotal how these teams on the outside looking in, like a USF, like an SIU Edwardsville, Ohio State of Texas, or even a Louisville or an FIU. Fresno State, we haven't even mentioned Fresno State.
Yep.
They're on the outside looking in, so they need strong showings to try and get themselves into that field of 64 and not be on the outside looking in. So, Mr. Lopez, busy week for you. Share the folks again one more time where they can follow you this week as you are in beautiful downtown Greenville, North Carolina.
Yeah, just keep it on Eric Lopez Elo on Twitter. Go to theamerican.org. Give it to UCFKnights.com. All those sites will tell you the American Conference Tournament schedule. The games will all be on the American Conference Tournament on the American Digital Network. Thursday, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern, we'll have all three quarterfinal games. Friday, two semifinal games as well. Check out your sites for details. And if anything changes with the weather and all that, I'll let you know on Twitter.
Absolutely. And, of course, you can send your vitriol about the upcoming projections by Mr. Lopez at Eric Lopez Elo as well. And he'll be live tweeting during the selection show, as I will be on the In the Circle SB Twitter Sunday night. Hopefully, I will get my nap in beforehand so we can get everything set to go for Selection Sunday. And we will have some things going on next week on the podcast. We'll talk about Division 2 with their Super Regionals set to take place. We'll talk about the Division 1 Selection Show. We have a couple guests lined up. The postseason is here, Mr. Lopez. Let the mayhem commence.
Yeah, if it's not already, it will. Trust me, Vic. Tell Vic I will say so long from Greenville, but tell the audience where they can find us before we sign off.
Follow our blog, InTheCircleBlog.wordpress.com. That's where our bracketology for Ms. Lopez will be up. Follow us on Twitter, InTheCircleSB. Subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic and iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Send us an email, InTheCircleSB@gmail.com.
All right, that's it. Hope you enjoyed this edition of In the Circle. Until next time, keep it here on In the Circle for all the latest in the world of softball news.